This week on Android App Addicts, we talk about Google privacy, Google Pixel 3a leaks, Bliss ROMs, Motorola flip phones, and about 8 different applications, and Doors all by himself at the same time. Wow, this is going to be a train wreck. This week on Android App Addicts. Hey, Podnutsians. Welcome to Android App Addicts, episode 536. This episode is brought to you by Matthew Fuzzle. Matthew Fuzzle, I'm pretty sure, is the most contributing Patreon Patreoner that we've ever had. I cannot thank Matthew enough because of his support and many others like you. I've been able to go to conferences, go to events, meet people, hang out with people, Patreon other people. Buy gifts for people, like a guy who's basically lost his entire everything in California fires. I bought him a Chromebook and a couple other little pieces of hardware and some toys to play around to keep him busy. It's due to patrons like you. We here at Podnuts are able to support those who support us. So I definitely thank everyone for all their support. It is a solo show tonight while I preemptively mute my phone to make sure it doesn't go at all crazy during the show. My name is Door-to-Door Geek. Mark is feeling really bad. This is maybe the most stressful time of the year for him. He has a great many things going on. Kids always have things going on. And then he just is extra busy at work. This is a time of year where they definitely tax him seemingly a little bit more. And for those, let's say, who only can listen every now and then an episode, our other host, Eric R. Ardini, passed away almost a month ago to the day from a form of liver cancer. Even though he's passed away, he will not be forgotten, number one. But his family definitely has bills that they have to try to handle, deal with now that they have to deal with life without Eric. And as Podnutsians, we're all trying to do our part to help them through this time of their life. Just because Eric is not here anymore doesn't mean the bills go with him. So in the notes, there is a link to the GoFundMe. I'm really happy I was able to do a 24-hour live stream. We were able to get the total dollar amount over $10,000, which definitely makes me feel good. But I also know we can always do better than that. So if you can, I ask you to please support Eric and his family in their transition in life. Really quick, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to jump to an email here. And for the live listeners, sorry, there will be occasional pauses and stuff while I get things straightened out, prepared for like the stream kind of thing. But the people listening live, you should listening through the RSS feed, you should have no issue. But I do want to say, before I do that email, we got an email from Patreon, and it basically says, hello, creators. We received some reports from Patreons who use the RSS feature that the new episodes are no longer coming into their podcast app. They insist, of course, they haven't changed anything, which I will say, being involved with RSS for 10 years, sometimes it's the app, sometimes it's the feed, sometimes it's just the internet acting funny. So if you are not getting new shows in your Patreon RSS feed for any content you get, whether it be Android App Addicts, Mini PC, or anybody else, they're asking that all you have to really do is delete the feed or unsubscribe and then just resubscribe again, and then everything should work fine. We're gonna start with his email, because honestly I haven't replied yet to him. Leaving it unread reminds me how important it is to bring to the show. So please don't take me not answering immediately, Tom, as anything less than just me wanting to be sure it got read on the show. It is from Tom Z. Hey, AAA team, long time. A huge fan from 2014. In the last 2 years, I had an iPhone and was sucked into iOS. 2-3 weeks ago, I got back to Android and bought a Redmi Note 7. Feels so good to be home again. Since I got this phone, I cannot stop tinkering, trying, investigating, and exploring Android again. God, I missed Android, and I'm glad I gave iPhone a chance, because before that, I never owned one, but now I know where I belong. I started re-listening to AAA and am catching up. So sad to hear about Eric. We used to chat a lot about apps, Galaxy 3 firmwares, and whatnot. He will be missed. Anyway, wanted to let you guys know that the show is alive and kicking. We'll definitely reactivate my Patreon sub again. By the way, back in my days, AAA had a Google Plus group. Where do you guys hang out these days? What's the best place recommended to chat with you and other listeners? Thanks for everything, Tom Z. First off, Tom, it's really good to see you. Two, thank you for the kind words to Eric. I do believe his family is still getting basically all the AAA emails, because I'm still forwarding them to Eric's old email address. First, I'll say it is honestly very good for anybody to try alternate operating systems, whether it be Windows, Mac, Linux, iOS, whatever. If you don't try other operating systems, then you really don't understand the features that your operating systems have and doesn't have. So it's really eye-opening. If you're a full-time Windows user, I really do encourage you, try for 3 months to use either Mac OS X or a Linux desktop. You'll have greater insight to your Windows desktop experience. Same thing with the Android thing. When you use iOS, you have greater understanding about how Android works and why certain things happen. I think it's funny that he was mentioning Galaxy 3 firmwares. Now in the Androidverse, it is not common whatsoever to root and ROM devices, partially, I think, because Android is now so much more mature, is the way I'll put it. The Redmi Note 7, I want to say, is an Oppo device. Let's do a quick Google search, and let's see. I will say this is basically like a version of the Note, like the Samsung Note, but it's made by Xiaomi. Redmi Note. 6.3-inch screen, 6 gig of RAM, 4,000 milliamp battery. Oh, my. 48-megapixel camera. Definitely looks like a good device. Android 9.0 running MIUI 10. I'm actually okay with MIUI, is what I'll say. Definitely looks like it has really good specs. Even though it has a humongous screen, I really hope the 4,000 milliamp battery actually does last for you, Todd. That's what I'll say. And seriously, Todd, a month or two, ping me and let me know what you think about that device, because it is a very, very good looking device. If you can jump back on the Patreon, thank you. Trust me, thank you. And between us and everyone listening, I tried to approach Patreon now 3 or 4 times. I'm never getting any positive responses from that, is what I want to say. I would like to basically combine all of the Podnuts Patreons into a single Patreon. It was very foolish of me in hindsight to have Android App Addicts, Mini PC, The Makers, and then just a general Podnuts Patreon. It makes it much more difficult to manage, makes it 4 times more difficult to manage, 4 times more difficult to log in and post updates into each one, 4 times more difficult to hold conversations in the Patreon. So I might start migrating all the Patreons into one, only because Android App Addicts right now has the highest number of people involved. I might try to look at if I can change the URL and rebrand that one and make that one the one and only Patreon, but that won't happen for months at the best case. Now Google Plus is gone. Okay. Super quick diatribe. I'm older. I'm Scorn. I've seen a lot. I've seen Gopher, I've seen Sailor, I've seen Lynx, I've seen Friendster, I've seen MySpace, I've seen all these things evolve and come and go and come and go and come and go. I'm only going to now invest my time, I'm only now going to invest my content, I'm only going to now invest my relationships, my digital relationships, if you will, on a platform that I feel confident that if I today fall into a coma, wake up in 10 years, we'll still be around in 10 years. And I don't feel confident about MeWe, that it will be around in 10 years. I don't think Twitter will be around in 10 years. And I'll be shocked if Facebook is remotely around in 10 years. I'm sure Instagram will, or some form of messenger will, but I don't think any of them will. The only thing I feel confident that will be around in 10 years, unfortunately, is email, IRC, and Reddit are the three places I can tell you where I think it's going to still be around. I will tell you, no place where I'm at right now is seeing anywhere close to the amount of traffic we were getting on Google+. We have a Mattermost server, which is like a Slack, a visual channel chat application. We have an instance of that running at mm.podnuts.com. You have to send me an email if you want to invite to that. It's not active. You know, maybe three of us will spend 30 minutes a week chatting on it at the most. On Discord, we have a server as well, partially because Patreon kind of pushed me towards that. There's like two or three of us on there, which again, like 20 minutes a week, maybe we're active on that. IRC always exists. The problem with IRC is unless you have an IRC bot running 24/7, when you log in, everything that happened before you logged in that day is gone forever. You'll never get it back again. So I'm really honestly tempted to do like an email list. We are on Reddit, at least me and Ivor are on Reddit. I don't know who else is. Reddit.com/r/podnuts. We're there. If you know of anything that you listener think me and everyone else should be on, don't hesitate to say something. Quite literally, if we get 100 emails in this next week saying we have to go on Facebook and start a group, I will start a alias account in a work profile on my device with a fake name, and we will be on Facebook. It's just something I won't invest my personal being on, is what I'll say. But it's good to hear from you, Tom. Hope everything's going well with you. And don't think of your iOS experience as necessarily a bad thing, is what I'll say. It just is a thing. We're going to jump right into some news headlines here in 1 second. And I am watching the YouTube chat and the IRC chat. Again, Thursday nights, live, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is the time we always go live. So you can always join us. And if you want to follow us on twitter.com/podnuts, we announce all shows being published. And we try to announce when shows go live on there as well. So there's an easy way to keep track of it. Or you could simply find us on YouTube and click subscribe and smash that bell and hit the other things that the YouTubers can't stop saying. You know, like all the YouTubers that need hair buns, those kind of people. And yes, without Eric here, I'm enjoying a beer on his behalf. Okay. There's been more than a couple Google things happening in the last couple weeks. We have Google I.O. coming on. I do believe this is the time of year where Google tries to do things that they really don't want you to talk about too much, because they have Google I.O. coming up and they want you to more focus on that. So here's one of the things I think that they announced, but I think if this was announced 2 or 3 years ago, we would think differently. But I think we, the normal person, I think is a little bit more educated now. And it is basically announcing that Google will soon allow users to auto-delete location history and search data. You're going to be able to automatically set two different options. I believe one option is it will delete your location and personal data after 90 days. And I think the second option is they will let you delete it after 180 days. To which I'll say, so what? It doesn't matter. They've already made all their money off of you. They've already taken all your money, all your data, anonymized it, transmutated it into different forms, and put it in large data sets that they use for trend analysis and for marketing insight kind of thing. So allowing users to opt in to deleting data after, you know, 90 days or 180 days, I don't think it's very impressive. I don't think it's very nice. I think it's them trying to like give an offer of goodwill, trying to give the impression that they're the good guys here. I, for one, am not buying it whatsoever. It's fine that they're doing it. It isn't bad that they're doing it. But the fact that they're doing it with such large time frames, I think it's actually disingenuous, and it's something that I'm really not happy about, is what I'll say. Next thing, they always say these things are leaks. I will say I agree with Mark. None of these things are leaked. These are very planned, very purposeful loosening of the belt to get some data out, to try to get some spin to be on there. And I will say to YouTube chat, BW Electronics, I will say, if you ping me on Twitter, I always have Twitter loaded and I will always answer. I always will reply. I will try to respond. Sometimes I got to load the Twitter app like once a day or else I don't get the notifications. I'm there. I just don't know. I'm still not convinced I should be posting to it. And then you have stuff like Mastodon, which is really just GNU Social, which is really just something else before that, which is really just something else before that. They've just died on the vine and they refactor the code and they call it something else. I don't like limiting text. Every time I'm on Twitter and somebody asks me a question, I always go over the character limit because, you know, that's how I am. Here's the next quote unquote leak. Pixel 3a is going to be announced at this Google I/O, and they're saying the price will be $399 and up, which I will say is, you know, fine with the Pixel 3a XL coming in at $479. Okay. I honestly have very mixed feelings about this. If you just look at their other devices, and if you look at the Samsung S10s, and if you look at the iPhone, whatever's, these are good prices. These are fair prices. These are modest prices. If you are at all educated on phones whatsoever, these aren't great prices. These are fine prices. These are almost normal prices. None of them are good prices. I will say both are going to come with 64 gigs of storage. That's slightly above average. I will say that. The high end, 128 gigs of storage. If you need 128 gigs of storage, then congratulations. You'll have the availability to do it. The one's going to have the, I believe they're both going to have the Snapdragon 670 processor. 600 is definitely an older series of processors, but I'm going to take for granted it's a higher optimized older processor, which will give you fan-diddly-tastic, and I did say fan-diddly-tastic, battery life. Okay, so I think that's going to be an actual good part about it, with good performance. Not great performance, but good performance. 4 gigs of RAM in 2019, 4 gigs of RAM is almost not enough compared to other phones. But for the price, I'm going to still say, okay, fine, fair, I'll take it. 12 megapixel rear camera. I don't care about megapixels. We should know now they mean nothing, almost nothing. 3,000 milliamp battery. I'm literally disappointed at the battery. I'm literally disappointed by the battery. That's a battery from 2016. That's pathetic, just about. With all those numbers and all those stats and all that dollars said, I would never buy this device. Okay, ever, period, done, not, way too much. This is literally like a $280, maybe a $300 phone, not a $399 phone. But if this device can take pictures as good as the normal Pixel devices, is what I'll say, and if you like taking pictures at all, then I think $399 is almost a deal. If you really do enjoy taking good pictures, if you really do like taking pictures, and if you really do want the higher, better looking pictures, I think it's going to be a little difficult to beat $399 with the high quality pictures that I'm going to honestly expect this phone's going to produce. So if you're at all a camera person or a picture person, not a selfie person per se, but a picture person, just a picture person, then I would take a hard look at this Pixel 3a and the Pixel 3a XL, because it's going to, in all expectations, do really good pictures, do really clean pictures, do really sharp pictures, and do good, you know, contrast, good low light, good motion, good all of that. So that should be something good coming out of Google I/O this year. And the big rumor is the people who go to Google I/O this year, you're going to get a Pixel 3a or 3XL phone, 3a XL phone, which is fine. They can afford it. Quick side tangent, Google Pixel devices, a couple of the articles out there. And here's the difference between journalists and real people. Okay. Journalists only have experience doing journalism. Okay. It's kind of like asking a auto mechanic about your HVAC unit. You know what I mean? Sure, they're going to be able to tell you some level of insight. There's no doubt, but they're not going to understand all the little parts of it, all the way that things work together. They're just not going to know it. They just can't know it. Okay. a journalist, more than a couple journalists, put out articles saying how the Pixel 3s sold so much worse than the Pixel 2s, and it was basically insulting Google about it. Here's how journalists are actually really stupid and really manipulative with clickbaitingness. Because only one or two articles I saw actually mentioned the actual fact behind it. The Google Pixel 2 series versus the Google Pixel 3 series, the price shot up a good amount, over 20%. Over 20%. The amount of sales for Google Pixel 3 devices went down. But if you actually have a brain and you actually look at what the overall profit margin is and what the overall numbers are, it looks like Google actually made more money off the Pixel 3 than they did the Pixel 2. And as a shareholder, as a stockholder, as a corporation, as a business in the free market of the world, your only goal is to make money. And they made more money with the Pixel 3. So to try to insult Google by saying how they sold less with the Pixel 3, it being a disappointment kind of thing, just shows your unbelievable a lack of understanding of the real world and your only understanding of manipulative clickbait articles. I really do encourage people. We need to find a way to basically shame all websites for all clickbaity kind of taglines and article headings. Whether they be bloggers, whether they be enthusiasts, or whether they be journalists, or whether they be elected officials. Clickbaity stuff should not be allowed. We should not put up with, is my logic. Next thing I saw was actually from last week, and I did find this, to be honest, interesting. It's only a matter of time before I get a EV, or a electric vehicle, because I travel slightly more than average Americans' distance, slightly more than average Americans' time every day going back and forth to work. So the logic is, if I can save money in that trip, it will help me exponentially more because I do it more than the average. So it's only a matter of time before I get some kind of EV just to try to get some kind of cost savings. And one thing that I will say is cool is Google announced that basically Google Maps now will tell you if an EV charging station is in use. Because with those vehicles, you literally have to leave it on the charger sometimes for hours, depending on the vehicle, to get a worthwhile charge versus a gas pump. You just walk up and 3 minutes later, you're like full. Being able to know ahead of time if you get to that charging station and it's not in use will help with sanity a great deal, is what I'll say. Even if I get a EV tomorrow, hypothetically, I still don't see myself as a family man taking it on a trip as like a family vehicle or any place out of the way for probably 2 or 3 years. I can only see myself using it back and forth as a work vehicle, and that's about it. But I do like the fact that Google is allowing that integration right into Google Maps to where you can see if that charging the station is available or not. Do a quick check for another email. Oh, we do have another email. And man, these are the kind of emails that get me. Like they hit me right in that spot. Not just any spot, like a chicken spot kind of thing, a liver spot kind of thing. This is from Scott. And Scott said, just a courtesy note, it's not voila, it's V at the beginning. It's French. Then he gives me a waywordradio.org, voila versus voila, cheers. And of course, I had to like ping him back, and I said, oh, no, now, I said, damn it, my pronunciation sucks. My wife corrects me on voila all the time. He then replied, oh, no, now I remind you of your wife. It is all downhill from here. To which I then reply back to him, oh, don't worry about it. That just means once in a while now I will ignore you, which of course is a joke. But, you know, my pronunciation is really bad. And I do think that last week, even when I said voila, I right in the middle of saying it, heard myself saying voila, like Waluigi. I don't know. I don't know where that comes from. I don't know why that happens, except for I'm incompetent with words is the best thing I can say. Here is another one that I will say definitely caught my eye. I almost put this on my laptop today, but then I remembered I had to try to do some editing on a show from last night, so I didn't get a chance to do it. BlissOS, BLISSOS, over at xda-developers.com, they have an article wrote up. We in the Android enthusiast arena, I'll say, we've seen a great number, literally a great number of software applications that say that they will give you Android or Android-like experiences on x86 hardware. We've had like, I always want to say Blue Coat. I can't remember what it was called. We had some that literally sat around for years swearing they got better. We had Android x86. We have more than a couple installable ones. This one says it's basically Android Pie for x86, and it comes with Google Play Store now. Part of the difficult part, I'm going to say, is when you install Android on an x86 computer, the x86 computer might not have the hardware and sensors that Android expects, like a compass, like a magnetometer, like a gyroscope, like a front camera, like a back camera, like a touch screen, and keep going and keep going, all these different things. So sometimes when you try to install Android on a regular laptop, desktop, you don't get a good experience, or apps literally go crash crazy. I will say it has definitely gotten better over the years. It's still not, in my opinion, great, but I will say Remix OS by Jide was the one that I thought came really close to being really solid, but it was a optimized, customized version of Android. Looking at videos of this and looking at screenshots of this, I will say it does look good. They do say that this is a ongoing project. It isn't brand new. It's been going on for a while. They've definitely been doing updates. They've gotten a lot more stable in this latest version. So if you want to play with a open source version, in air quotes, version of Android, check out BlissOS, blissroms.com. They have like your old school, the ROMs where you can try to put onto phones. And if you want, you can honestly pay them for it, which I'll tell you right now, if you really want this to continue on and if you really want it to work very well with your device, pay the $10, download this, install it, and then start complaining to them and reminding them that you're a paying person. And I'm sure what you complain about will get more things done to them than just a regular person. They have a really full team, I will say that. A really full team of people working on this. So I would really like it if this is the kind of thing that really could become popular again. Because I do believe sooner or later, when that fuchsia takes over, we're going to need somebody to pick up the mantle of Android and keep updating it for us, for people who don't necessarily want to go to another operating system. What I'm going to talk about next is like, if I had a sad trombone sound, if I would have planned a little bit better, I would have had a sad trombone sound. I will say, I do believe this is the kind of thing Mark, when we talked about it, instantaneously shot down as being stupid. And I tried to, you know, but talk good about it. But then, you know, very shortly after reading the specs, I just, you know, there were, I wanted it to succeed, but I kind of knew it wasn't. And it is the Energizer gigantic battery phone, aka just ran out of juice. The P18K Energizer Power Max phone with an 18,000 milliamp battery barely got $15,000 out of its $1.2 million goal on Indiegogo. I'll say that again. They got just over $15,000 in their Indiegogo campaign where they were asking for $1.2 million. First off, you're asking for too much damn money. Second off, if you took a look at the specs for the phone, they went a little insane. Okay. I'm all for a huge brick-like phone with USB-C, with a week plus battery life or whatever. I'm all for that. But they literally put in like a crazy high-end screen, crazy high-end storage, crazy high-end RAM. They went a little bit overboard with all the specs. Everybody I know who wants a gigantic phone battery does not want 256 gigs of storage. They don't need 8 gigs of RAM. They don't need a 4K screen. So to put all those things in the device, to me, just made it unnecessarily expensive. I believe it was either $600 or $700. If you give me an 18,000 milliamp battery phone for $300, $350 with modest, normal specs, I would have went out of my way to try to support them. But because of the specs they were offering and the price they were mentioning, I just said to myself, self, this is the kind of thing that I just cannot get behind and I cannot support, partially because I kind of knew it wasn't going to be successful. Turns out it was a French-based hardware company, which I had no idea there was even a French-based hardware company doing phones, but apparently it was a French-based company. They got to do this device, and they've done Energizer phones in the past, which I didn't know either. We just don't see them, I guess, here in the U.S. So goodbye, Energizer P18K PowerMax phone. Hopefully you don't take this as a failure. Hopefully you take this as a learning exercise, and maybe later this year you'll come out with a smarter device with more modest specs. Okay, what we have next. And I'm literally bringing this. I'm not just teasing this. I'm not just trolling anybody by bringing this. Okay, but Motorola's vertical folding razor shown in leaked renders. Okay, so you can see it. I mean, it's not easy to see is what I'm going to say. None of the renders make it really super easy to see. It's not great images is what I want to say. Just think of your old school razor phone. But when you open it up, the entire face is a screen, and then you close it. Okay, here's the gist of it. You have your normal size phone. Just the devil's advocate, think of your normal size phone. And then when you're done with it, it folds in half. So it becomes twice as short. Now almost normal thickness, just a little bit thicker than your normal thickness. Wouldn't it fit much easier in your pocket? I think it would. Would you have to worry about screen protectors as much? You might not. I like the idea. Oh man, I'm going to say it. I almost like the idea of this phone. I never had a Motorola Razr before in my life, but here's the real kicker. And if anything, the Energizer P18K should have just taught us this. If they market this device at the right price, it doesn't have to be a spectacular knockout. It doesn't have to have spectacular X, Y, or Z. If they market it at the right price and it works and you can open it, and you can close it, and you can open it, and you can close it, and it doesn't break, this might be the black sheep of the folding phone. This Razr phone might be the 2019 phone of the year kind of thing, because if they're able to get this thing to come out, if it is able to do what it says it can do, have the fold on the inside of the screen kind of thing, and if they do it at a proper price, don't be shocked if this thing sells like gangbusters. I'll just say that. They're saying it's going to be $1,500. $1,500. Okay, so we got to take this. Let's hop over here. Let's say calculator because, you know, I can't count. 1,500 divided by 24. That's $62 extra a month unless the phone is subsidized. They're going to have to literally bring that price down to $800 or $900 is what I'm going to say. Let's say $900 divided by 24. $37 a month. They're going to have to get that thing below $1,000, in my opinion, or after subsidies and after monthly things come into play. If they can get that thing down below $50 a month, I think it actually might be the black sheep of the folding phone and might come from behind and just smack everybody. I don't know. I will say I would like Motorola to do something good. Their E's and their G phones are fine. They're fine. They're economical. They work, but I don't think they're great devices. I think they're very fine devices. I would like them to make a device that people consider great just to shake it up, just to be competitive, just to, you know, keep up with all the other companies out there. That would be a pleasant change of pace, in my opinion. Okay, we're going to go to apps now, at least a couple apps here. This one I actually did hear about on more than a couple shows. And without sounding dumb, this is the exact kind of app I would have sent to Eric and he would have immediately installed, and we would have definitely played with, and we would have seen, is this app for real? Because this seems a little bit like mysticism. It seems like, are you sure this can do this? It's called Lightbeam Screen Sharing by Lightbeam, marked as a social app. E for everyone, 36 reviews, completely free to download. No ads, no in-app purchases. That seems rare to me. 4.6 average reviews, again, 36 total reviews. Updated April 17th, 2019. 31 megs in size, 1,000 plus installs. Current version 1.0.2 requires Android 5.0 and up. That to me is also shocking. You only need 5.0 and up. That is actually pretty fantastic. What this app says it can do is you can set up, I believe it's only a one-on-one chat. I could be mistaken. But you can basically share your screen. What they really want you to do is to show your selfie cam and show your screen to the other party. And they can do the same. And you can basically look around and you can hypothetically say to somebody, I'm shopping for these glasses. How do you think these glasses look? Have you ever seen this website? Bah, 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 bah. Good example. Last week, if you would have tried to explain to somebody, go to Google, type in Thanos, wait for it to load, wait a little bit longer, tap the glove and watch what happens. And if they keep responding back, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. But then you could have said, okay, well, install this application, Lightbeam, and then bam, you connect with them. You say, okay, now watch my screen. And you could literally live show them the Thanos glove clicking and then the half of the stuff on the page disappearing, which I will say, that was genius. Okay, I'm not a fan of the movie whatsoever. I'm a fan of Josh Brolin, I'm not going to lie. That was just a genius Google thing to do. This app, I will say right now, could be unbelievably useful, especially, I'll say, in the realm of tech support. And I hate saying it like that, but if you know somebody, a relative, a loved one, or just somebody you know that needs help once in a while on Android to get things done, and they don't know how to do it, and you would like to help them know how to do it, literally just have them install Lightbeam. And then you could be able to very easily, in air quotes, remote into their device, see their screen, and tell them what to do. Sometimes telling the other people what to do, they'll actually learn it much quicker than you just telling them what to do, and then just hoping they get it right, or just, you know, clicking it for them. If you actually, you know, have them do it with instructions, they actually might learn a little bit better. I will say I really do like phones with bigger screens as well as Swift. In the IRC chat, personally, I want a 7-inch phone because I don't care how dumb I look holding it. And I also have a T Laswell. Give me a skin that looks like an old school flip razor. I will say this. You know that's going to happen. You know that's going to happen. You open up that Motorola razor folding phone. You open it up, and when you hit the dialer, you know the bottom of it's going to look just like the old razor keypad because it has to. If they don't, they're doing something wrong. They're definitely doing something completely wrong. Yeah, Swift in the chat says he has a LG Stylo 4 6.2-inch screen. Nice. Slightly narrower phone, but also taller. Yeah, they've gotten with that as well. I will say, taller phones do make it slightly more difficult to touch corners of the screen, but I think that's worth the trade-off. The app I'm going to bring next, yes, this is a repeat app, but it has a whole new material layout, material look, which just tells me they're getting ready to do something completely different than material, because if they updated this app, it must be close to the end of life for material. And this is Opinion Rewards, Google LLC, Tools, E for Everyone. Completely free to install, no in-app ads, no in-app purchases, 830,000 reviews. Of course, this is a editor's choice. Average reviews, 4.0. I have no idea why it's only 4.0. Updated May 2nd, 2019. Yep, today. 8.3 megs is the size of it. 10 million plus installs. Current version, way too long to mention. Requires 4.1 Android and up, which is fan-diddly-tastic. Offered by Google LLC, official Google app. If you are tired of giving up your information and getting what you perceive as nothing in return. We all know you get something in return. You get a little bit of convenience. You get a little bit of accessibility. You get a little bit of functionality. But if you want cold, hard cash, I'm sorry I can't give it to you, but I can guarantee you Google Play credit money. So it's Google money. Think of it like Monopoly money, only you will be able to spend it someplace. You'll be able to spend it on the Google Play store to either rent movies, buy apps, buy ebooks, or those kinds of things. Basically, you just load the app, give it access to your location settings. I'll say this, if your job involves you driving around at all, especially if you're like a mailman, is what I want to say. If you're a mailman and you got to deliver to business parks, oh, you install this, I guarantee you, you're going to make like $5 a week. Because every time you walk to the door of a business, Google's going to think you visited the business. And they're going to keep asking you questions about the business. The number one thing I can tell you, though, is don't lie. Don't you lie. Because Google will once in a while throw out a question that they know the answer to, seeing if you will lie to them. Because if you do lie to them, they will like soft ban you for, I believe, at least a couple weeks and not ask you any questions. So always tell the truth to your Google overlords and you will be rewarded with Google Play money. I always now have at least like $5 in the coffer ready to spend. Once in a while, I rent a movie for the wife or the kids. They have a really good time watching it. Hey, Ghetto Geek in the YouTube chat. Good to see you. Yeah, I more often now use my Google Opinion Rewards money to rent movies for the kids, partially because they've been doing better in school. When they do better in school, I'm not opposed to, giving them gifts once in a while. This next app is the kind of app I'm literally only mentioning to make sure it's been documented. Okay, seriously, I'm not going to lie. At least a third of the apps I bring to the show so I can always say to myself, self, what was that application? Oh, I know it should be in the app spreadsheet or it'll be in the app notes. So it makes it easier for me to find this kind of stuff in the future. This app is called Airtable Productivity, E for Everyone, 809 reviews, completely free to download, no in-app ads, no in-app purchases. If you haven't noticed by now, I like it when apps don't even have in-app purchases because then upfront you know what you're going to pay. I like it when they also don't have in-app ads because then you know the real estate on the screen is going to be optimized for your experience, not to display ads. 3.9 average reviews, updated February 20th, 2019, 13 megs in size, 100,000 plus installs, current version 1.2.5, you have to have. 5.0 Android and up. What's new? For instance, they have a barcode scanner fix, which I will say that was one of the things that did catch my eye, barcode scanner. This is basically, think of it as a database wizard is the best way I can put it. Here's the other way I kind of describe these kinds of applications, these classes of applications. If you use Linux whatsoever, you should realize you can do anything with any version of Linux. But what you should really do is find what kind of Linux is closest to matching your specific needs. Then you load that Linux. Then you have to do the least amount of work to get what you want out of it. This is basically a database organization, calculation, record keeping, dynamic spreadsheet-like application. But it has a whole bunch of preset types built right into it that make it much easier for you to get at least a database started or a list started in like any shape, way, or form is what I'll say. Even if it's just a calendaring type database and you want to record things. And the idea that they have barcode scanners involved, to me, I want to be able to now, I'm going to try this and try to scan the things that I eat, at least the things that are scannable that I eat, and see if I can record what I'm eating that way. Because I'm always looking for other ways that I can help record that kind of stuff throughout the day. I cannot encourage people enough. If you want customized record keeping, I think this might be really worthwhile to check out. Again, it's called Airtable. Honestly, I think it looks pretty good. I think it's probably worth your time if you're one of those people who want to do a dynamic list, a dynamic database. You don't want to have to create it from scratch. You want to be able to just click in it and just, you know, pick one of the category types and just start going. Here are some of the types they have. They have a project management template, vacation planning, event management, sales lead tracking, to-do list, CRM, which is customer relation management, expense tracking, asset management, inventory management, product catalog, communications, wedding planning, and team coordination. I honestly really like the idea of this one. This is the kind of app I really would like to find a use for, is what I'm going to say. I would like to find a use for. This next app, this is the kind of app I'm never going to use. I ain't going to lie. But I can see this actually being quite useful to people who are definitely audio focused. Me, I listen to 24 hours of podcast a day. That's my form of audio. But this is for the other kind of audio focused people. It is called Endel from Endel Sound GmbH, which is the, I want to say British, but now I think German, British version of a corporation. Health and Fitness, E for Everyone, does have in-app purchases, completely free to download, no in-app ads, updated May 2nd, 2019, size, depends on the device, 10,000 plus installs, version varies with device, Android version varies with device, oh my lord, in-app purchases from $5.49 to $94.99, oh my. Okay, what this is basically, if you require background noise to do anything, this might be the app for you. What it tries to do, it tries to have different modes of audio, whether you want focus mode of audio, relax mode of audio, sleep mode of audio. There's a bunch of different personalization type settings. So if you're the kind of person that, in my opinion, cannot stand silence, you always need something playing in the background, or you really like the idea of like having white noise, relaxing type sounds, but you can customize them to what you want. This literally might be the app you need to check out. To be honest, it doesn't look like a bad app at all. It actually looks like a good app. So I definitely encourage people to check this one out. Next one I'm going to bring is really just a web page with a bunch of apps on it. And it's because I haven't had the time to go through all these apps. This is on LifeWire.com, which I'm pretty sure you really should have an ad blocker on if you go to this website. But, okay, top 3D printer apps for desktop and mobile users. I loaded this page up expecting just to see Printoid. Printoid is the premium Octoprint interface for Android. You take a Raspberry Pi, you install Printoid or Octoprint on it. You connect that to your 3D printer via USB, then you load up Printoid and you connect that Raspberry Pi and you get an unbelievably polished interface to your 3D printer where you can control anything, do anything, record time lapses, blah, blah. You can do anything on it. But I was pleasantly surprised. There's more than a couple apps that I never heard of. One of them is just called 3D Printer apps for Android. It's literally just a marketplace of other apps for Android. Let me see if I can find at least the one. There was a STL viewer. Yeah, see, this is not looking good. When I was on mobile, I was able to find these apps much easier. There's an Autodesk Fusion 360, literally Fusion 360 for your device. Tinkercad is another one that you can put on your device. I'll have to go through. Oh, yeah. G-Code Simulator and G-Code Info were the two I thought were really cool. In the 3D printer world, you download STL files is the main type you seem to download, and it allows you to view and see what the file looks like. G-code is what the end product is what gets sent to your printer. If you don't have a G-code viewer, you're not really sure if this is the right G-code you're loading. So to have a G-code viewer app on your phone, it makes it much easier to verify, oh, this print has what I'm going to print, but it has it rotated 90 degrees. And it has full supports built in. So if you do a G-Code viewer app, you'll be much more confident with what you're printing. This is now going to be like the empty the tank part of the show. Okay. Next, I'm always looking now for alternative news sources. And by alternative news sources, I mean not your standard ones, not your CNNs, not your NPRs, not your BBCs, not your PBSs, not your register.co's, not any of those things. So I found this one, Smart News Breaking News Headline. I haven't had a chance to do what's called lateral searching. I'll tell you what that is at the end of the show. Smart, so I don't know who's behind this yet. Smart News Breaking News Headlines by Smart News Inc., News and Magazines, E for Everyone. 306,000 reviews. It does contain ads, of course, because it's news. They always contain ads. Completely free to download. No in-app purchases. 4.2 average reviews. Current version, updated April 23rd, 2019. Size is only 6 megs. Installs, 10 million installs. Version 5.4.4. Only need Android 4.0 and up. The other thing I liked about this one was it looked pretty easy to actually customize your news and say you want to prioritize, for instance, science news, and you're not interested in sports news, for instance. Or you can say, give me the local news to Chicago. I was born in Chicago. I want to know about Chicago. So you can say, show me all of their news. Or you could say, you know, show me all the local news for Paris because you want to know about what's going on with the yellow vest protesters or whatever. So I definitely like the idea of customizing at least my streams and feeds and looking for, you know, competition to the normal Google, Facebook type of news delivery type stuff. Smart news, breaking news headlines. I'll just say this. I'm going to find out if it's actually, like, you know, trustworthy, reputable, or not. I will say it does try to bring in articles from all sources, whether it be NBC, MSNBC, USA Today, Time, The Huffington Post, Bleacher, Report, Quartz, The Verge, Vice, Fox, AP, Rutgers, BuzzFeed, Fast Company, and more. There's many, 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 many more news sources than just that. So I really hope they bring in from many, 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 many more sources than just that. Okay, next, I know we typically aren't weather app fans is the way that I'll put it. So let's see if this YouTube video breaks it again. But this app was just, to me, different enough looking that I thought this could be pretty cool. It basically has like a circle type weather interface on it, which is basically like a 24-hour clock. It uses a lot of color coding, a lot of highlighting, a lot of hue in order to differentiate, you know, what it's like. So you can easily see what is the temperature going to be at 9 o'clock at night, what's the temperature going to be at 6 o'clock at night, or you can even say, show me what the wind speed is going to be at these times, or what is the cloud cover going to be like at these point in times, or what's the precipitation going to be at this time, aka a whole bunch of different types of things you can show in that wheel type format, including, of course, your standard 7-day type forecast. This was just different enough, I will say, I found really interesting. And here's the other part I found really interesting. You're able to connect it with your calendar. So if you literally have, hypothetically, your kid's baseball game to go to, and then you're going to go see Avengers Endgame, you can, you know, this weekend, you can literally move forward in the calendar or in the weather app to this weekend, and it will show you the forecast, and it will highlight those two events in your calendar right into the weather app. I thought that was actually genius. I know of no other weather app that does it. So just because of that one feature alone, I will tell you, this might be worth checking out. Of course, it has the full radar. Who doesn't like looking at the radar? I don't know. But it's called Atmosphere Weather by Concept Elements LLC under the weather category, E for Everyone, 47 reviews, does have in-app purchases, and it does have ads. Again, completely free to download, 4.0 average reviews, updated May 2nd, 2019, 7.2 megs in size, that's tiny. 1,000 plus installs, current version 2.6.0. You need Android 4.4 or newer. In-app purchases is $3.99. And I do believe that was a one-time purchase, $3.99. So honestly, if this is the kind of thing where you dictate your life in your calendar and you have outdoor events that you have to be aware of what that weather's going to be like, this is really, really a convenient app. And you know, I'm not a weather guy. I definitely thought that was cool. Next, I brought a couple of these in the past. This is a mind mapping application. And yeah, GetterGeek says it's definitely good for photographers. And I can see why. You always want to know when there's good sunlight out. This is a mind mapping application called Minds, M-I-N-D-Z. And it ends with a Z. So you know I'm going to like it, right? Yeah. Minds, mind mapping free by Birch Productivity App. 2 reviews, E for everyone. Completely free. Current updated May 1st, 2019, size 5.5 megs, 100 plus installs, current version 0.5.2. You only need Android 4.4 and up. The only way I can explain mind mapping to someone is think of it as a brainstorming documentation tool. You get either a concept or an idea or something in your head, and your real only goal is to write it down. But with mind mapping, it also gives you interesting ways to connect information. Hypothetically, I want to start a sports league for my kid. I'm going to need to document all the things that are going to have to happen. I can make a map of all the things that need to happen, I think, in chronological order. Well, before I get the uniforms, we have to decide on the colors. Before we decide on the colors, let's try to think of the names of the team. Before we think of the names of the team, let's try to think how many teams, and you know, so it will let you better document things that you're trying to flush out in your head kind of thing. I've used mind mapping applications successfully like once or twice in the past at work when we wanted to do what I considered to be single person, bigger projects. Something was very kind of difficult for an individual to do, a little bit easier for a group of people to do, but I was working by myself. So I used these kind of apps to install. Right now, this application is so beta. It basically says it's not compatible with any of my devices. But again, it only has 2 reviews, only has 100 plus installs. So if you like the idea of mind mapping applications, go ahead and bookmark this. It will come online. It might take a week or two, but it will come online as a downloadable app. Next one I wanted to bring, I know people out there need list apps. I'm not one of those people. But I know you have Google Keep, you have Wunderlist, you have all these other applications. Competition is good. I definitely encourage people who are fan of list applications, check out this one. It's called AnyList Grocery Shopping List and Recipe Manager. AnyList Productivity, E for Everyone, 5 reviews, does have in-app purchases, no in-app ads, free to download and installs, current review score 4.6. Updated April 29th, 2019, 17 megs in size, 50,000 plus installs, current version 1.0. You need 4.4 Android and up. Obviously, once you hear the full description of the app, AnyList Grocery Shopping and Recipe Manager, you know why I pinged this application. I'm not a huge fan of list taking. I will say I need to take to keep slightly better accurate records of my recipes, what I'm eating, and how much is going into the recipe. It's definitely harder to then realize how much I'm eating versus the recipe because you always got to guess. I'm going to say slightly under 50% tonight, you know, maybe over 60% tomorrow night kind of thing, because I would like to know what I'm eating and what some of the numbers are. So I like the idea of having a recipe-focused list application. Of course, it has stuff like a built-in calendar. Because of that, I'm going to definitely install this app and try to use it. And I will say, if you're trying to keep better track of what you're eating, this really might be worth your time. Again, it's called AnyList grocery shopping list and recipe manager. And last but not least, this one is coming from the reddit.com/r/podnuts. And I believe this is pronounced Specky Sinclair X. I'm sorry, Sinclair ZX emulator, Specky Sinclair ZX emulator, Garage Research emulators, arcade category, E for everyone, 334 reviews, no in-app ads, no in-app purchases, $3.99 to download and install, 4.4 average reviews, updated April 29th, 2019, 2.5 megs in size, 5,000 plus installs, current version 5.1.4. You only need Android 2.3 and up. That's fantastic. And it is eligible for the family plan. So 5,000 plus installs for a $4 app is actually pretty good numbers. The Sinclair ZX was basically one of those computers from back in the, I'm going to say 80s, that were really much, much, much more popular in the UK, not as popular in the US. But if you want to see the kind of stuff that they had available to them, I will tell you this right now. If I was a kid back then and I knew this computer existed, oh, you betcha I would have tried to get this computer, because these games looked like back in the day, they would have been really fun, really interesting. Of course, compared to today's, you know, it's going to be hard for them to be amazing. I will say on a phone, I don't know if this screen would be big enough, because you remember you were expected to be looking at least like a 10, or at least a 13-inch screen is what I'm going to say. So on a tablet, this might actually be really, really cool is what I'm going to say. Again, $3.99. I honestly think it's a fair price, $3.99 for Specky Sinclair ZX emulator. Okay, I went through all the articles. I went through all the apps. I'm really shocked I was able to do that. Okay, let's do a quick rundown here. In the notes, we're going to have links to Mark's picture of the week. I don't think I remember seeing him making something this week, which I'm going to have to call him out on next week. Then we have Google allowing users to auto-delete location history. We have the Pixel 3a and 3a XL information, Google Maps and EV charging. We then have Bliss ROMs. We have the Energizer failing phone. We have the Motorola leak of their renders of their folding Razer phone. Then we have Lightbeam screen sharing. We have Google Opinion Rewards. After that, we have Airtable. Then we have Endel. After that, we have the best 3D printer apps for desktops and mobile users. Then we have Smart News, breaking news headlines. After that, Atmosphere Weather. Then we have Minds, M-I-N-D-Z, mind mapping free. After that, AnyList, grocery shopping list and recipe manager. And last but not least, we have Specky, Sinclair ZX emulator. I will definitely thank everyone for their support. I will thank everyone for coming out. And do not forget, email us, aaa@podnuts.com. And you can send us a voicemail at 7076-PODNUT. And I literally forgot. I have in my hands a completely unopened, fresh from the factory, if you will, Google Home Mini in a box. I'm just announcing it this week. You'll have more than a couple weeks. Send us an email. I don't care what the email is about. I don't care if it's a funny story about something with you and Android. I don't care if it's a story about when you first saw the fifth element and you thought it was awesome. I don't care if it's, a story about Eric that you think is cool. I don't care what it is. Basically, anybody who sends us an email or a informative tweet or something like that is what I'm going to say. You can't just ping me and say, @DoorDoorGeek, free Google Home Mini. No, that's not an entry. I want like a genuine piece of communication. Just send it into aaa@podnuts.com is the easiest way, and you will be automatically entered into the contest. I don't care where you live. I don't care if you live in Antarctica. I'll send it there. And if not, I'll just buy you one and send it, buy one locally to you and send it to you. So if you want to take part in that, all you do is send us an email. If you do send us a voicemail at 7076-PODNUT and you want that to be considered a entry, you have to follow it up with an email and give me contact information of how to get in touch with you. Do not leave me your contact information on the voicemail, because then everybody who listens to this show will hear it. So if you definitely want to hear, your hands on that Google Home Mini, AAA@podhouse.com, we will hook you up. Mark is definitely going to be off next week. I will try to do something next week on May the 9th. Definitely, again, if you want to hang out, May the 9th, Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, come out, hang out, we'll have a good time, we'll chat. And if you have a suggestion for the show title when you watch live, definitely let me know. We will talk to everyone again real soon. Take it easy, everybody.
My name is Jeff Houch. I am the host of Podnuts, the Computer Repair Podcast, where we take live calls on the air to answer your questions on running and operating your computer repair business every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern. You can check it out over at podnuts.com/Computer Repair Podcast Live.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.